We're going to learn Daf Yud in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start right from the top of the Yomid. First word on the Yomid. So the Gemara beforehand had been discussing the concept of Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, and we had Rabbi Lozer Shita that said that somebody says Pesach Pesuach, first he's Naaman to say that she's Aser, that he considers her to be Aser, and then we had Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel who said Pesach Pesuach Matzasi is even Naaman Lahafsik Ksubasa, that she'll lose her Ksuba. So that was the Machleik on Daf Tes, and now the Gemara takes it, and we're going to discuss it a little bit further. Itmar, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Elazar. In the name of Shimon ben Elazar, Chachamim Tiknu Lahem Levnei Yisrael. The Chachamim created this concept of a ksuba as follows: Lebesula Masayim, that a besula gets a ksuba of 200 zuz, Ula Amana Mana, and the Amana gets 100. Meaning, if and when the marriage ends, either because of a divorce or because the husband dies, the wife is entitled to this amount of money. So if they got married, she was a psula, that she gets 200 zuz. If when she got married, she was by definition an almana, then she gets a 100 zuz. And the Brisa continues, or the Memra continues, and Chazal trusted the husband, Shem Omar, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, that if he claims in Bezdin that I found Pesach Pesuach, but she wasn't a Pesula, Neman, that he's going to be Neman to lose her Ksuba. I'll be Pashtos to lose her entire Ksuba. That's the Pashtos. Okay, that's the end of the Memra. Then the Gemara asks, Im Kane, Mahe Ilu Chachome B'Takanasa? If the guy, the husband, can undermine this whole concept of a ksuba, so what did Chazal accomplish by creating the ksuba? The tachlis of a ksuba, at least the underlying reasoning behind the ksuba, is so that he doesn't he's not able to divorce her just by throwing her out, and it doesn't cost him anything. So we created this monetary obligation so that it's not so easy for him to throw her out. So, but now you're telling me, on the other hand, that the husband's able to say Pesach Pesuach, and he is able to make her lose her ksuba. So what did Chazal accomplish? So Amar Rava, so Rava said, Chazoka in Odom Tarech Besudo Mafsido. So what they accomplish is as follows, because we're not really worried that this is going to happen at Pesach Besuach. As Rashi says, he would only make this claim if it was actually true. Because he put in so much effort. If he really didn't like her and was intending to get rid of her in the first place, he never would have gone through with the chasana, the cost and the tircha of the chasana. So the fact that he went through with it meant that he legitimately did really want to go marry her. And then, if he actually went ahead so far and made the claim of Pesach Pesuach, so then he is absolutely naman, he's trusted. But under normal, but you're right, and this is only Negea, obviously the first day.
Yeah.
It's only Negea the first day. But after that, of course, after that, it's going to be, it's not really relevant anymore. So, of course, the ksuba is still going to be relevant. Okay, so, Tana, and we learned, Hayol v'knas, v'knas chachomim, v'knas chachomim hu. So since this concept of the ksuba is considered a knas, like tigba elam in a ziburis, so therefore she's only able to collect from ziburis. As we know, there's different levels of fields of property that a person can own. A person can own, this is all really mostly relevant to only karka, to land. That he can have idius, which is the best of the types of land, is baininus, which is the intermediary, which is somewhat good and somewhat not good, and then ziburis, which is the lowest level of land, which is the hardest to work with, and so on and so forth. So And for different types of obligations, there are different levels of land that if you're making payment with land, you would be obligated to pay. So over here, if it's knas generally is collected from ziburis, is the lowest level. So therefore, this is actually a statement. The statement is, and therefore, since it's a knas, you should only be able to collect from ziburis. So the Gemara asks, knasa, my knasa, why are we considering this a knas? It's not a knas. You didn't do anything wrong. Normally, to be obligated to pay a knas is because you did something wrong and you have to repay or something like that. But here, the husband didn't do anything wrong. Why would you put this at the level of a knas? Ela Amos, so the Gemara says, you're right. This is the way to understand it. Hoyel vitakonas chachomim hu, not that it's a knas, but rather, since this is all man-made, it's created by chachomim, loitigma elam nisiburis, the chachomim have the right to establish at what level it should be collected, and therefore it's only collected from ziburis. That's the first shita. Till now we've been talking, the shita is that that we hold that the whole concept of ksuba is a din derabbana. Comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel loimer vayter in the Gemara ksuba zisha minat Torah. He says no, really this concept is really minat Torah. We'll see the Gemara is going to bring the pasuk, and therefore it's a din daraisa. So the Gemara first asks me, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel hachi. Did Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ever say that it's really a din daraisa? Vatanya, we have a brisa not like that. It says the brisa says kesef yishkol kamoyer abesulois. This is talking about when a girl is mafuta, that the husband, or not the husband, the husband-to-be, shall we say, has to reimburse the girl for the damage. So he has to pay her kamoyer abasulis. She hezeh kamoyer abasula, umoyer abasula kazeh. So the two psukim, the way Rashi learns anyway, Rashi learns that the two things that we're comparing here is the halacha of how much a mafuta has to pay, how much you have to pay a mafuta, and how much you have to pay a ma'anes. You have to pay in the case of an oinis. In one case, the Torah uses the word shloishim, in one case, the Torah uses the word shkolim. So we put the two together. But mikan, based on the fact that the Torah put these two together, samchu chachamim l'ksubas isha minat Torah. The fact that the Torah used the word moyar, that there's some sort of value here, shows that the Torah wants to take care of the value of every woman, not just in the context of an oines and a mafuta. So we see that the Torah wants to protect that every woman has the right to collect in the context of marriage. However, that's the Tanakama Shita. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel lo yimer, no, ksuba sisha ain't a midivrei Torah, ela midivrei soifrim. So he says that the whole concept of ksuba is only midarabonin. It's not midaraisa. Which contradicts the statement that we made just a moment ago, where we said Rav Shimon ben Gamliel was the Shita that says it's the araisa. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Epoch, you have to switch it around. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is the one that says it's the araisa, and therefore he's consistently the araisa, the other Shita would be the darabonin. However, the Gemara asks, "So my chos is the afkas pasraisa epech kamaisa. Why are we switching around? There's two brises. In one brisa, Reb Shimon Gamliel says the araisa. In one brisa, the way it's written, anyway, it says that Reb Shimon Gamliel says it's the rabbanan. So we say, oh, very easy. Just switch the second one. How do you know? How do you know to switch the second one and make it always the araisa? Maybe switch the first one and make it always the rabbanan." So the Gemara answers because we have a third source. Hashemin and Leah, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We heard Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the Amar Ksuba Sisha Midaraisa. So we have another context that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says Daraisa. It's not we learned in the Mishnah, a totally different context, but he says as follows: Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Loimer, no yisin lo miyamoyis kaputkiyo. He has to pay from the value from money of kaputkiyo. The context over here is what's actually a Mishnah in Masechtas Gittin. It says when a person gets divorced. So if a person he has to pay from the place, the location that he's in. So let's say a person got married. The simple example is he got married in Eretz Yisrael and then he moved to the city of Kaputkiyo, or the other way around, Kaputkiyo and Eretz Yisrael. Now, as we know, or let's use America and Eretz Yisrael by way of example, as we know, the currency in America is a better currency. It's a better currency. So when you are valuing and you have to pay 500, would you rather pay 500 shekel or $500? That's all, right? It's a whole different value. It's a whole different system. Even if you want to say that they do the same dollar amount, but which money would you rather be holding on to? Would you rather be holding on to the dollars or holding on to the shekel? So, it's a machlokes in the Mishnah in Gittin, whether you could always use, so to speak, the cheaper currency, or so the chiddush that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says is that you have to use kaputkiyo, which in those days was considered the better currency. So why would Rabbi Shimon Gamliel require that you use the better currency? It must be because he held that ksuba is deraisa. Once again, if it's deraisa, you have to pay from the idios, you have to pay from the better quality. So we see, again, this just proves that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds the whole concept and the payment of a ksuba is based on, must be deraisa, and that's why we're looking for the best source. That's one teretz. One teretz is we have another Mishnah. V'ibay yisema, and the other answer is that the two brises actually are not contradicting each other in the first place. Kula Reb Shimon Gamliel he, even the second brisa, which seems to say that it's only the Rabbanan, it's still the whole thing is Reb Shimon Gamliel, but still it's not a contradiction. V'chsurim echzura, because there are words missing from this brisa. V'alchik tani, and here is the correct way to read the brisa so that it's consistent, because it says like this: Mikan samchu chacham l'ksubas isha min ha'toyra. that they said, first of all, this pasuk that we said, Kamayar Abasulois, is the proof that there is a concept of Ksuba Daraisa. Ksuba Salmona, Eina Midivre Toyra, Ela Midivre Seifer. But then we split it. We said there's a Ksuba of a Basula, which is the first time the Torah, which is, by the way, the context of a Mefata, and Oinus and Mefata are both talking about a Basula, and that's why, and the Torah puts a value on them. So also Chazal understood that every Ksuba of a Basula is, that's what the Torah is hinting to, you have to pay. But the idea of an almana, there is no concept of paying an almana in the Torah. So therefore, the concept of the almana is only a din derabbanan. So we split, it depends on whether she's a psula or an almana, whether it's deraisa or derabbanan. And what's the proof? This is to finish the raisa. You have to add in not just the word ksuba, but you have to add in the word almana. The ksuba of an almana isn't deraisa, but rather it's derabbanan. Okay, so therefore now it's not a contradiction. Your question was whether Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds Ksubas Daraisa or not. The answer is he does. But it depends. It's Daraisa for a Basula. It's only Darabonon for an Almana. Okay, so that's going to be the Machlekes, whether Ksubas Daraisa or Darabonon. Okay, now the Gemara is going to tell us some stories about Pesach Pesuach. Who also the Kamei, the Rav Nachman. There was a guy who came to Rav Nachman, Amar Lei, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. He says, you know what? I found Pesach Pesuach, it didn't work. Amar Lei, Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said, Asbu Kufri, you should hit him with thorns. Mibirchasa Chavita Lei. Because Mirchasa Rashi learns is the name of a Zoyna in town, or the Zoynois in town, that this guy obviously has been sleeping with a lot of Zoynois. That's how he knows and recognizes whether or not this Pesach Pesuach. Because a normal Bacher wouldn't know, a regular guy wouldn't know, you know, if this is the first time, he wouldn't know whether it's Pesach Pesuach. So therefore the fact that he's admitting that he knew that what's going on over here shows that he's been with some Zoynois. And therefore he deserved Malkus. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman Huda, Mar Mehemin. Rav Nachman is the one who says he is believed. That's Rav Nachman Shita, that we believe him, and he makes him even, makes her lose her ksuba. So the Gemara says, not a contradiction. Mehemin, we do believe him. We must mean in Lake Kufri, but we still hit him. Okay, we believe him, we know, you know what you're talking about, but the question is, why do you know what you're talking about? So that's problematic, and that's why we're gonna give the guy Malkus. Rav Acha Mishani, Rav Acha answers very differently. Kan b'bachar, kan b'nashli. It depends. You're right. He is believed, but it depends who you're talking about. If he's a bachar and somebody who has, this is his first time, so then there's no way he should really know what's going on. And we actually will not believe him. In other words, when a guy comes to Bezin and says, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi, according to this Rav Acha's Teretz, it all depends on who he is. If he is he's been married before, then Anachanami. We can trust when he says Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. But if this is his first marriage and this is his first time, so then we're not going to trust him. We just don't believe that he knows what he's talking about. Okay, so this is a very, very important teretz. Okay, the next case is Ahuda also the Kamei de Rav Gamliel. The person came to Rav Gamliel, Amalei Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. Again, I found that she's not a Basula. Amalei. So he said, Shema Hitisa. Maybe you actually did the Bia in a way that you did not interfere with the Basulim, that you came in Hitisa means you came from the side. So therefore, really she is a Basula, and maybe you did it in a way that didn't interfere with the Basulim. And I'll tell you I'll give you an example of how this can happen. The Odom Shahayim Mahalach Be'ishon Laila, a guy was Vafelo, a guy is walking in the darkness of the night and it's all cloudy and he can't say anything. Hita, and then he gets to his front door, the way Rashi learns, he gets to his front door and he walks into his front door sideways, Masay Pasuach, so he's able to walk in because the door doesn't open all the way. So if he goes in sideways, he can fit in. Loi Hita, if he doesn't go in sideways, he goes straight in, Masay No, then the door seems to be closed because the door only opened up a little bit. So if you walk straight into the door, you're going to bang into it. But if you go in sideways, then to the side you'll find it open. So therefore, the same thing over here also. Maybe you did the Bia in a way that you came in sideways, so that's why you didn't find the Basulim, and really she still is a Basulim. That's one version of the story. Ikadami, another version of the story, Zachi Amar Lei. What Rabbi Gamliel said to him was, Shema b'meizit hitisa, maybe you purposely came in sideways, and you took off the whole door in a way that you didn't notice that it was Pesach Pesuach. Meaning, the difference between the first Gersa and the second Gersa, and the Ikad Amri, is whether it's possible to do Hatoya, as we call it, or sideways, on purpose or by accident. Can this be done by accident? So the first Shita holds, even by accident, it's possible. The second, the Ikad Amri says, no, that's not something you can do by accident. It would have to be something you did on purpose. And again, just to finish the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, what am I comparing it to? Similar. Guy's working in the middle of the night in the darkness. If he purposely came in sideways, he'll find the door open because he'll be able to slip right through. But if he didn't go on purpose sideways, it'll bang into the door and it'll be closed. So the same thing over here also, obviously. Again, the point is that if you did it on purpose, maybe, you're right, it's possible that you found a Pesach Pesuach, but that's because you purposely did it in a way that you wouldn't find that, no. Similar, so we see that the Rabbanon are looking for ways, they don't want to necessarily automatically concur with the guy to say that it's Pesach Pesuach. Another story. So they came to Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi, a different Rabbi Gamliel. Omar Le, Rabbi, he said, Rabbi, ba'alti b'loi matzasi dam. So in this case, he didn't say Pesach Pesuch, he says there was no dam at all. Omar Le, Rabbi, so she said to Rabbi, the wife said, B'sula ha'yisi, I was a B'sula, there should have been dam. So Omar Lehem, so he said, Aviu Le, oisei sudor. They brought the sheet, the bed sheet, from that night. Hiviu Le, sudor. He took the bed sheet, v'shar b'mayim, and he soaked it in water. The kids, when he washed it, and then he found, he realized that it was covered, that it got dirty and it got covered, so therefore that's why they didn't see the dam. Once he washed off the dirt, he was able to see that there was in fact dam over there, and therefore she really was the basula. Go and be zoicha in your purchase. In other words, he was saying that really she is the basula, there's nothing to worry about over here. Okay, so that story happened with Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi. So Amalei Huna Mar Berei Derav Mi Parzikya. The Ravashi. So Rav Huna said to Ravashi, "Anan nami neved hachi." So this is a great story. Why don't we do this test also? Just like Rav Gamliel was able to wash it and check whether there was dam over here. Also, we should wash it and check. Amar le. So Ravashi answered him. Now we're turning to the top of Yudam Abayz. Giyot shalonu kekibot shalahem. Our ironing is like their washing. As Ravashi learns, it's very interesting, that the water that they had, that they used for cleaning purposes, or either the water or the detergents that they used, worked very well, and therefore with just soaking it in their water detergent, was able to wash it off, and therefore you were able to see whether there was dam here. But by us, however, our stuff, our cleansing materials, is not as good, and we would have to iron. The Amr's never gets, and if you say, fine, no problem, so we'll iron also. The problem is, Mavr le chumrasa. The stone, Rashi says, chumrasa means stone. The stone would wipe away not only wipe away the dirt, but it would also end up washing away the dam. So it's too strong. It would be like a bleach. It would just whiten out the whole thing. So you would never be able to find it. So for Rabbi Gamliel, he was able to use this method because he was able to just soak it. And just by soaking it, would miraculously get rid of the dirt, but not get rid of the dam. So get it, and then you'd be able to find it. By us, if we went through this process, our process is more harsh. So our process would end up not only knocking out the dirt, would also knock out the dam. So you'd be left with the same issue with not knowing whether or not there was dam here in the first place. Okay, so that method doesn't work. Another story. Story says like this. Once again, another story. A person came to Rabbi Gamliel by Rabbi. Omar le Rabbi ba'alti v'loy matzasi dam. Once again, we were together and there was no dam. And therefore, obviously, I assume that she's not a basula. Omar le Rabbi adayim basulani. Here, interesting. What she says is, not that I was a basula, and he should find dam, but rather, I am still a basula. She's claiming that he didn't do the bia correctly. So I'm still a basula. So Amar Lahen, so he said to them, meaning to everybody around him, Heviu li shtei shifchois, bring me two maidservants, achas basula va achas ba'ula. One of them that we know definitely is still a basula, and one that we know is no longer a basula. Heviu loi. So they brought him these two girls. They shivan al pi chavis shel yayin. And he made these two girls sit directly on top of each on top of a barrel of wine. And what happened? The Ba'ula, her breath smelled like wine, even though she didn't drink the wine, but the smell of the wine was able to come up through her body, and now her breath smelled like she had smelled like the wine. Basula ein roicha noidiv. But a basula, the smell did not come up through her. In other words, it was still blocked. Okay, so we see now we have a way of testing of whether or not she's a basula or a ba'ula, whether she's been with somebody before. So afzu, so now they took this girl who claimed that she's still a basula, shivua, and they put her on the barrel as well. V'loy haya reicha noidiv. And she did not, the smell did not come through. So we see, amar lech zechei b'mekhecha. So go, your bezoicha and your mekach, because we see that the smell, obviously this was a test that worked to prove that she was still a basula. Okay, so that's the story. Now the Gemara asks, the nivdoik meikara bigavo. Why did you have to bring the two maidservants first to check out the system? Why didn't you just, obviously he knew about this because he went to test it, so why didn't he just bring this girl right away? Why do we have to go through the whole process before? So the Gemara answers, Gemara hu shmiyale maisa lehave chazi. He knew this concept, he heard of it before, but he never actually saw it in practice. The savar, so he, and now it's more than that. The savar, and he thought, dilma loy kimlo begave demilsa shapir. Maybe I won't be able to test it properly, I won't be able to see whether it really works or not, I won't be able to understand the you know, when you do an experiment, the different samples, what the results are. V'lav oyrech aral is azula b'nois Yisrael, and I don't want to treat a girl this way, a b'nois Yisrael this way. So, because it might end up happening that I'll do the test and it won't work, and I won't be able to recognize what the results are. And just to make her do this process would not be proper. But once I did the test, and I know now exactly how the test is supposed to work, so now I could try it on her, and therefore it's not a zilzul because I'll be able to get absolute results. Okay. So that was another way that Rabbi Gamliel Berebi was able to show the husband that she really was a psula. The next story. Ahuda also the comment of Rabbi Gamliel Azokin. So now somebody, a guy came to Rabbi Gamliel Azokin. Amar Lai, the older Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Lai, Rabbi Ba'alti V'loi Masasi Dam. Once again, same issue. We lived together and there was no blood. Amar Lai, Rabbi Mimshpachas Durkati Ani. So the girl said, yes, I agree. We did live together, but there is no Dam. Because there is no dam. Because I come from a family that they don't have. This is not our system. Our physical system works differently than everybody else. We don't have dam. She'ein lahem loy dam nido v'loy dam besulim. Okay, and this family they don't normally have the normal cycle like everybody else. So, Baldak Rebbe Gamliel the Krev, I say, he checked her relatives to see if that's the family she comes from. Umasa kitvareha, and Itaka found out that she was telling the truth, that that's the family. So he said, now this is interesting. He said, go take your mekach, in other words, you a zoicha. And then he also added, Ashrecha shesachisa lemishpachas turkati. You're praised, or it's good that you got from this family. So everybody asks, as we'll see in a moment, that this was a Durkati is not necessarily the best family. So why did Rabbi Gamliel add this praise of saying, oh, and she's, it's, you're lucky that you got this family? So there are different answers to this question. One answer is, just to prove the point of Rabbi Gamliel, like we're going to see later, Rabbi Gamliel's Shita is that you should always praise somebody for their mekach that they bought, even when they bought something improper. So what he's saying is, really, she's no good. But my halacha is, yeah, you're lucky, you're so lucky that you got this. Others is that even though it's still a schus to be part of it, because you, as Rashi learns, the way Rashi learns, is because you never have to worry about suffix nida. You never have these problems because she never becomes a nida. Okay, now the Gemara wants to know, what is this interesting phenomenon? My Durkati, what does this mean why do they name this family Durkati? So we say Dor Katua, that it's a generation that is cut off. Because, as we'll see in a moment, again, everything we're saying here is based on the Gemara later, but the Gemara, because it's not as easy for them to have children, and they end up having less children, smaller families than everybody else. So it's a generation that gets cut off. So Amar Rav Chaninot, Tan Chumim Shal Hevel Nichumoi, Nichmu Rabbi Gamliel, Lo Isaya Ish. You see here right away, Rabbi Hanina himself says that he made him feel better over Hevel. Hevel is nothing. Over nothingness. He praised this guy for no reason. Why? What's the problem? Detani Rabbi Chiya, because Rabbi Chiya taught us, Kashem Sha'asa'or Yofa Le'isa, just like you need dough, excuse me, you need yeast to make dough. Kach damim yafa leisha. So too, the dam makes it possible. That system is what makes it possible. That's the system that makes it makes her able to have to have more children. Betana mishum Rabbi Meir and we learned Rabbi Meir even said so. Kol isha shedamel merubin. If she has a lot of flow of from her body, banel merubin, then she has a lot of children. So we see that there is a so to speak an inverse or converse effect. That the more dam you have, the more children, the less dam, the less children. So that's why Rabbi Chiya had a problem with the fact that this is not a good thing, this is a bad thing, that she's from a family that does not have a lot of dam. Okay, so that's that. Itmar, Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Omar Zaka b'michcha Omar Lei, that he said that you should be zoicha. You should go, in other words, it's not a mekach tois. What he was trying to say is you should go take your mekach because it's a good marriage. Rabbi Yosef bar Abba Omar nischayiv b'mekcha. What he was saying is this is not, that the words that he was saying is, well, this is where Rashi says that, that it's, you are chayiv to take and you cannot use an excuse, you cannot use this as an excuse for getting undoing the marriage, but rather you are completely tied in to this marriage, and that was what the point that he was trying to make. But the Gemara says Amar Lei. So remember, this is Rabbi Yosef bar Abin said this. Excuse me, this is right. Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Yosef bar Abin. So Amar Lei. So Rabbi Yirmiya said Bishlam Lamandi Amar Nischayev. So I understand if you hold the Nischayev that the point is Hainu Rabbi Chanina. This is Rabbi Chanina's point that even though this is not the best family to get involved, he wanted to tell him there's no excuses, this is what you got, you get whatever you got, and you have to stick with it. So what's the zchus? What's the greatness? Well, okay, I understand that, you know, also these things are true, that it's a good marriage. But why is this a schus? What's special? As the Gemara says, the loy also the day, safik nida. So the Gemara itself says that it's, or that you don't have to worry about the issues of safik nida. You don't have to worry about the suffix nida issues because she doesn't have any dam. Okay, another story. Ahuda also the kame de Rebbe. So now a guy came to Rebbe. Amarle Rebbe ba'alti b'loy matzasi dam. Again, we lived together and there was no dam. There was no besulim. So he's concerned that she wasn't a besula. Amarle Rebbe adayim besula hayisi. Again, she says to him. Notice the expression. She says, "I was hayisi." I was a basula. So really everything went as planned, but I was a basula. However, Vishnei Batsurais Have. So this happened to be during a famine year, and people did not eat properly. Ro Rebbe Shepanem Shechoyrim. And he saw that their faces were black, and that's what happens to a person's face when they don't eat properly, their face turns a little darker. So Tziva Aleim, so he told his staff about them. The Echnisom Lemerchatz, he washed them off. The Echilom, and he gave them drinks. The Hishkom, the Echilom, and he gave them food. The Hishkom, and he gave them drink. The Echnisom Lecheder. And then after they ate properly, then he put them together. Baal, Umotzodam, and then he found that there was dam. So in other words, what the Gemara is trying to show us over here, obviously through the story, is that there could be outside circumstances that could also affect, if she wasn't eating properly, so her body wasn't functioning properly, could also affect the ability to have the regular dam that you would normally see. So, Amar Leich Zacheh B'Mekhecha. So once again, he said, okay, you see now that she's really, everything is up to par, that everything is normal. So Yezoicha in this arrangement. Kari Rebbe Alehen. Alehen. And he said about this idea that Rebbe was able to understand what was going on. Tzafod Oyrom Al Atzman. Their bones, their skin rather, stuck to their bones. Yavesh Hayaka Eitz. And they were dry like wood. This is a pasuk in Eicha when obviously Klal Yisrael were under circumstances. They were starving, so that's what happens. So he saw that that's exactly what the pasuk was talking about. That Rebbe, the point is that Rebbe was able to understand. He understood this pasuk to mean their skin cleaves to their body in a way, and they turn black in a way that makes their body not able to function in a normal way. And Rabbi Gamliel understood this or saw this, and therefore knew that it wasn't a basulim issue. Fine. So that's the sugya of Pesach Pesuach. So on the one hand, we do believe the husband. On the other hand, as we've just seen a number of stories, that she could come back with a taina, with an argument, and, you know, we can test her argument to see if it's true, and then she has some nemanus also. So in other words, it's not a completely one-sided story. He can come back and we'll believe him. But he has to believe him. If she doesn't have an explanation, then we will believe him. But if she has an explanation, we will test her explanation as well to see, to defend herself. Okay, next Mishnah. Basula, like we mentioned before, a basula, when she gets married, ksubasa masayim, she gets a ksuba worth 200 zuz. The amana, and an amana, when she gets married, she gets a ksuba worth 100 zuz. Then it says, basula almana grusha v'chalutza mina erisin. All of these girls, no matter how they got married, whether they were married in the first place or not, marriage ended after the erisin, meaning this was her first marriage, mina erisin, but then during the engagement the marriage ended. So then, if she gets remarried, ksubason masayin, then their ksuba is still 200, because if their ksuba is still, we have to presume that the husband and wife were never together, because they were just engaged. And therefore, v'yesh la'en tainus basulim. And the second husband is able to make that claim that I expected her to be a basula, and she wasn't, because nothing happened during the first marriage. Okay, now the Gemara is going to, first of all, my almana. What does the word almana mean? What is that? Because if you don't know what the word means, then it's very difficult to understand the Mishnah. So, Amar Rav Chana Bagdasa. So, Rav Chana, the way Rashi translates here in Masechet Ksubas is that he was from the city of Baghdad. He understood the word almana as like this: almana al shem mana. She is called an almana because she gets 100 zuz in a marriage. Okay, so that makes sense if she had a regular marriage. Almana mina erisin mayikel meimer. But if, let's say, now she's been engaged before, and that engagement ended with a divorce, and now she's again in a second marriage, and also during the engagement, she's still considered an almana. In that case, our Mishnah very clearly says, in that case, she would still get 200 zuz, even though she's been previously engaged and divorced. So Mayek Lamemer, so why would we call her an almana in that case? She really gets 200 zuz, not a mono. So the Gemara says, you're right, I did the high karale almana, high nami karale almana. Okay, fine. So we use the same name, we use the same expression, that she's been in a marriage before, so we refer to her as an almana, because in most cases the marriage went through to a full marriage and then got divorced. So she is referred to as a girl called an almana, even though technically she's not really halachically an almana, and she gets her 200 zuz. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, "Amana d'chsibu ba'araisa mayik l'meimar." But what about the fact that we refer to an amana in the Torah also? Right, the Torah uses the word amana, and in that case, there was no ksuba yet. Especially if you hold, like we held on Yudam and Aleph, that the concept of a ksuba is derabonon. And if the concept of a ksuba is derabonon, to call her an amana because she's getting a ksuba of 100 doesn't make any sense. It didn't exist in the times of the Torah. Ma'ikah le'meimar. So the Gemara answers, the asidin rabonon de masakni le'amana. The reason the Torah already called her an amana for the ksuba is because later the Torah already knew that later Chazal were going to be masake and that she was going to get 100. So the Gemara says, "Mi kasev kra la'asid." Is that something that the Torah already refers to something that's going to happen and that hasn't yet happened? In the Gemara says, yes, it does. We do see that concept of chsiv, because the pasuk says, "V'shem anahar ashlishi, the third river is chidekel." It's called chidekel. Hu ha'hoylech kedmas Asher, goes to the east of the city of Asher. Now, the problem is, with Tana Rabbi Yosef, Asher is Slika. It happens to me that Asher is the city of Slika. Umi have. Does the city of Slika didn't exist when the Torah was written in those times of, you know, when Adam HaRishon was in the Gan Eden? Obviously that city didn't exist yet. So Ela Da'asida must be because in the future the city will exist. So Achanami Da'asida. So over here also, you're right, the concept of an Amona will exist, doesn't exist now, but it will exist in the future. Vamar Rav Chana Bagdasa. Okay, so that's one halacha. That's why we call her an almana. Vamar Rav Chana Bagdasa. Now, once we're darshaning what words mean, so he's going to darshan a few different words as well. So he says like this, mutter. What does the word mutter mean? The word mutter is mashke. It waters the plants. Mirave, it saturates. Umazavel, it fertilizes. Umadin, and it makes it nice. Umamshech, and also makes everything grow. So now, in this case, the word mutter doesn't actually stand for all these letters, but we understand that he was trying to darshan what does mutter accomplish. Omer Rav Bar Rabbi Yishmael, V'itema Rabbi Yemar Bar Shalmiya, Mikra. What's the pasuk that we see that rain has all these qualities? Because it says Tzlameha, it's ridges. Rava makes it easy. Nachas, it makes it. So Rava, sorry, when it saturates it, and Nachas nicely. Kedudeha berevivim tamaygna, and it's furrows. It's you know what you dug into the ground. It multiplies in a nice way. And then therefore what grows is going to be blessed. So all of these words mean exactly what we just said. The rova is from the word merave, and nachas is from the word madin. Right? So it's all these, that what we just said about rain, it all fits into this pasuk. Okay, that's one word. Amar Rabbalaz Mizbeach. What does the word Mizbeach mean? Mizbeach means it takes away. Umezin, and it and it's zon the world. Mezin means it gives a nachas to the world. It satisfies the world. In other words, the karbonos give a Kadosh Baruch Hu the satisfaction, and therefore wants to take care of the world. Mechaved, it makes Klal Yisrael close to Hashem. Mechaper, and it also gets rid of our averus. Okay, so that's what Mizbeach stands for. So the Gemara now says, Hainu Mechaper, Hainu Mizbeach. The Mechaper means get rid of our averus. Mizbeach also means cut off. It supposedly cuts off our averus. So it sounds like it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, no, it's not exactly the same. Mizbeach Gezeros, it cuts off the Gezeros, whatever, if there's a bad Gezero, it gets rid of the bad Gezero. Mechaper Avoinos, and also Karbonos help to create a Kapora for our averus. Okay. Vamar Rav Chana Bagdasa. Now back to another thing that Rav Chana says, Tamri, that when you have dates, Mashachnin, they make a person warm, Mesabin makes a person satisfied, Mashalshalin loosens up a person's stomach, Ma'ashrin, and Ma'ashrin makes the person stronger, V'loy Mefaknin, and it doesn't make a person finicky. This is very interesting. V'loy Mefaknin means that even though, the way Rashi explains this, even though it's very tasty, and normally once a person, like give a kid a lollipop, then all they want to eat is lollipop, right? You give a kid a cookie, all they want to eat is cookies. They don't want to eat regular food. So dates are sweet in the sense that they're yummy to eat, but they don't make a person have this taiva that they only want to eat sweet food. So that it doesn't make you a mafunik to not be able to eat other foods. So Amar Rav, ochol tamarim, if a person eats dates, al yoyra, you can no longer paskin, because it also affects the person in the way they think. It makes a person, so to speak, like drunk. So the Gemara says, meisvei, tamarim, we also have a different bais that says, dates, tomorrow, shachris va'arvis yafus. If a person eats them in the morning and in the evening, that means after the morning meal and after the evening meal, it's very good. It's very healthy. B'mincha rois. If you eat it mincha, that the way the Gemara Rashi explains is that if you eat it before your meal in the middle of the afternoon, just on its own, then it's not good for you. It hurts your stomach. B'tzaharayim. But if you eat it in the afternoon, and here we understand it after your afternoon meal, ein kamoison, there's nothing better than that. That's the best combination. because one of the things that we mentioned, by the way, is that it makes a mishalsal and it makes a person go to the bathroom. It loosens up their stomach. So going to the bathroom in the middle of the day is the best way. Because remember, in those days they didn't have plumbing inside the house. You had to go out to the field in order to go to the bathroom. So if you eat food that makes you have to go to the bathroom at night, that's very uncomfortable, because at night you're going in the dark. But if you eat food that makes you go to the bathroom during the day, that makes you very comfortable, because during the day you could see what you're doing and you can get relieve yourself, and then you don't have to worry about it at night. And also the Gemara adds, Amavat le'shloisha dvarim, and it gets rid of three problems. Machshava ro, makes a person comfortable that he doesn't think bad thoughts. V'choyle me'ayim, it loosens up the stomach, it gets rid of your stomach. V'tachtoniyos, and tachtoniyos, the way Art Scroll translates that as herpes. It gets rid of, as Rashi also translates it that way, that it gets rid of a sickness that a person has. Hemorrhoids. No, what did I say? Sorry. Hemorrhoids. It's a little bit different. So, I apologize. So, it gets rid of a problem at the bottom. Okay. Now, miyam rinon. Oh, so what do we see? So we see that first listed the qualities. It made it sound like it's not that they're not so good for you. That they have good and bad. And now in the second brisa it says that everything is all good. So the Gemara says, you're right, miyam rinon deloy malu. It doesn't say that it's bad. That even if you eat it in the afternoon, by mincha, it sounds like there's a bad. It's a problem. It says it's not that it's not good. Aluyim malu. But it ultimately will be beneficial. Ulafi shaita tirda. But at the moment when you eat it, the fact that it loosens your stomach and makes you go to the bathroom. So it has, the immediate impact is that it has a negative effect. But it's only for a temporary immediate impact. But eventually it's also healthy for the body. Mididahava achamra, the same thing they have like by wine also. Damar mar, hashoysa revias yayin al yoyriho. That a person who drinks wine, also wine, generally speaking, is very healthy for a person. But its immediate effect is that you can't paskin because it does impact the way a person thinks. V-boys, that's one term. V-boys, hemeloi kasha. And the other answer is whether the dates are good for you or not. Hamakaminama, holobosernama. It depends, as the price itself very clearly says, it depends on whether you eat dates before you had a meal or after. After you had a meal, it's very healthy. It helps you digest and it helps your body go through the food. But if you eat dates before the meal, then it just hurts your stomach and it's not the best time. Damar Abaya, Amrli Aim. My mother used to tell me, Tamri Mikaminama, if you eat dates before you eat the meal, Kinarga Ladikla, it's like an axe to a tree, it knocks down the tree. Basarnama, but if you eat the dates after you eat the bread, Ki Avra Ladasha, it's like the doorpost, Ladasha. Okay, it's like the doorpost of a, what it means is, the Avra Ladasha means the lock to the door. Meaning it makes the door very strong and powerful. Okay, now back to what we were discussing before was translation of words, dasha. What does the word dasha mean, the doorpost? Amarava derech sham. That you walk over there. That's the way to go in. Darga, which means a step. What does that mean? Amarava derech gag. It takes you up to the roof. It goes up. Steps take you up. Purya, which is translated as a bed. Why do we use that word? Amarav papa sheparim varavin oleha. That's where that a person has is pru rivu, so that's why it's called a purya. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Now we'll just do this top line on Daf Yud Aleph. On Daf Yud Aleph and Bet Aleph. Af Anu Nemar Islandis. We also used to say that the reason why an islandis, a woman who can't have children, is called an islandis, is Duchronis de la Yolda, is a male goat that is not able to have children. That's how it's translated into Aramaic. There's an isle, right, an isle, isleness doesn't have, duchur is a male goat that's not able to have children. So that's where the word isleness comes from. And that's why Chazal used the word isleness. Okay, we'll stop over here.